This is Nerd FT Radio, where nerds full-time, explorers of the metaverse, surfers of the blockchain, and not in our mom's basement. I'm your host, RSG, a.k.a. the Mario Wonder Expert. I'm here with Crypto Crier, a.k.a. the Money Making Crier. And hey, baby. We have two very special guests from the arcade team. We have Castro, a.k.a. the Head of Business Development, and we have a very special toast. We have Decentralized Toast, a.k.a. the Head of Toast, a.k.a. the Head of Marketing at Arcade. How are you guys?
Good, man. Thanks for having us.
What an intro. Feeling
good. It. Yeah.
That was an intro. That was a great one. I just want to say that was one take and one take only. If they say it was two, they're lying to you. But again, happy to have you guys on the podcast. For the listeners that don't know about you guys, would love for a more of an introduction from both of you, as well as Arcade overview of everything. So go ahead. You guys have the floor.
Toast, why don't you go first, and then I'll take myself and talk about Arcade too.
Cool. Yeah. So I'll intro myself. So Decentralized Toast, Grape Doodle, maybe you see me, purple face, bald head. So yeah, I've been in crypto for going on 8 to 10 years-ish. I've been working full-time in the Web3 space for the past like 5 years, like former working at Shapeshift, which became Shapeshift DAO. Worked at some other companies, including Inway, who's owned by Animoca, made the Rec League that just came out. And been at Arcade for the past, coming up on a year this month of November. So yeah, been an exciting journey. Been here for a while. Couldn't imagine being in any other space besides this one.
Yeah, I'm Castro. Today I'm a Milady, but the PFP changes quite often. On Twitter, I'm currently a Sproto. On Discord, I'm currently Hot Frogs, whatever I feel like being. But yeah, run the BD team at arcade.xyz. I've been terminally online for 4 years now. I haven't even gone outside. I've been with the Arcade team just about half that time. And yeah,
employee of the year.
I guess I'll just jump into Arcade real quick and give a quick explanator on that, because that's been my life for a couple of years here. But at arcade.xyz, peer-to-peer NFT borrowing and lending. So it's basically collateralized loans on your normally idle assets that you can now use and access liquidity with. It's like a virtual pawn shop, right? You go in, you get your short duration loans, you pay them back, or you roll the loans over, right? We have borrowers who perpetually roll their loans over for some of them up to a year, which is pretty cool to see. So yeah, 150 million in volume. We got over 14 million in outstanding debt. We're the number one peer-to-peer NFT lending app in the space based on volume and outstanding debt. So that's pretty cool and pretty exciting. And the protocol was just recently handed off to a DAO, which was super, super exciting. So long 2 years building the protocol, building the community around it. And now it's in the hands of said community.
Awesome, man. I was fortunate to see you guys. Gabe was the CEO of Arcade speak at ETH Denver. So it was a great talk about real world assets and the use cases, going through a lot of the loans and stuff like that you guys had outstanding. So I do think that is you guys have pushed the space forward quite a bit, especially in the real world asset collateralization, and happy to have you guys on the show.
Man, thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
For sure. We just went on to the DAO, pushing over to the DAO. What was the main driving factor behind that move?
Yeah, I think the team, especially the founders, believed in a decentralized future and actively continue to believe in one. And so as we're building the protocol and the product and the dApp on the protocol, always asking ourselves what's next and staying in line with the ethos of decentralization, this made the most sense to do. And there's enough of a community that's been built around the app that uses the app. The NFT finance space as a whole has grown so much. So why should we keep it to ourselves? As a team, we're still building the dApp on top of the protocol. And anything the community governs in will be adapted by us on the dApp, of course, within reason. But I think ultimately it was just trying to stay within the ethos of decentralization and giving back to the community that helped make the product what it is today.
Very cool. Yeah, like I said, I think you guys have done a great job. I think the idea of just lending in general is super important. If you're not, if you're listening now, you've never really done it before. Some of my best moves have been because of being able to lend. Like I said, I do a lot with like BenDAO and those with the pools. I haven't really done anything with you guys specifically, which I regret now because I missed out on my token. But So now, what's the kind of purpose of the token? Like, why why do I go to you guys instead of some of the other lending platforms?
I would say the team that built Arcade have been really amazing innovators, introducing features that weren't existent on other protocols prior. That included being able to use multiple assets for one loan, using crypto native punks as collateral, using 1155s as collateral as well, being able to perpetually extend your loan, being able to take over other lenders' loans, finance upwards, finance downwards, whatever it might be. And it's been a battle-tested app over the last 2 years. Despite the constant push and deployments of new features, despite how much volume we have had on the app, we continue to push forward and we've remained the innovators. And I think that's why, even though we weren't the first movers, that's why we've been able to become the number one dApp in the space. It's because of all that innovation. It's because of the battle-tested security that people trust. They're not just coming here with the low-value PFPs. They're coming to Arcade with a lot of high-value fine art, one-of-ones by artists like Xcopy, by Fuocious. And then, of course, with the higher end of their profile picture collections, Golden Basies, Mega Mutants, Zombie Punks. So these are very high asset loans that have been, we've had loans that have been 1,200 ETH for a loan, 1,000 ETH for a loan. So very high value, 1 million plus in stables, and trusted that these assets will remain safe on the protocol during the escrow, during the transaction. So I think there's a lot of features and innovations from the team that have led the way and are reasons to use the app. On the other hand, you said you're into pooled lending. That's a very different sort of strategy than peer-to-peer. It's a passive strategy. It's one where you're just putting faith in the security of the protocol, which we all have to do when we're using these DeFi protocols. But when you're getting into the peer-to-peer side, you have a lot more control. It's just more engagement than a pooled product would be.
For sure. Yeah, and I do think that's a really good idea, you to talk about being innovators in the space. Are you guys one of the first ones to have the like on and off switch for the tokens to be distributed before a governance call?
I think Toast was just alluding to that. The token is non-transferable. There were a few reasons we made it that way. So if you do qualify to claim the token and you go to the claim site right now, it would be claimed to this community vault that you still have the power to vote with, but you can't transfer it to another wallet. You can't sell it. And so I think Toast also said before that there's people who are already talking about introducing a proposal to make the token transferable. But there were a few reasons we did that, right? This wasn't an exit liquidity event for anyone. We didn't want anybody coming in and front running pools or anything like that and manipulating the price. And there's also some regulatory reasons too, as we navigate these waters with more attention being on, you know, crypto as a whole from different governments across the world. So there were a few reasons we did that. It's been well received, which has been really cool to see. And I got to say, I hadn't seen anyone done it before. I know there have been at least a couple DAOs who have done it, but I think this is really going to be the new meta of token distribution.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that's such a cool idea because usually you see it within, you get that huge initial spike of interest and then just instantly gets annihilated. It's like ENS token or something like that. So
come on. The wound's still open, Crier. Come on.
I'm saying like this is it is an interesting thing because what's the point of a token realistically? The governance side of it, the voting, do you want to actually participate in this DAO? Generally, that's been what they say, but realistically, that's not actually what happens, right? It's just like a big play at liquidity grab or some sort of market making or something like that. So I do think it is a good idea or just an interesting topic to see this kind of play out. And talking about like fee switches, stuff like that, Uniswap's been dangling the fee switch carrot for what, 2 years, 3 years, actually seeing something that is actually more decentralized, having full control over these things and getting stuff done, I think is a good move for the space. So I'm excited to see what you guys do with that for sure.
Thanks a lot. Speculation is a consequence of being in such a innovative space and young space, right? So that's always something to take into account and try to, you know, best position yourself for and make sure that it's not something that affects the space negatively. I think we've done that.
What's your favorite loan that you've seen?
I'll go first with mine. I'd probably go back and forth on what it would be, but I've taken a liking to Sam Spratt over the years. His blueprint Skull of Lucy, the one that's used to formulate all the other Skulls of Lucy, was actually used as collateral on Arcade. So I'd probably have to pick that one as my favorite. We've had other skulls since then, but that one stands out. It's the OG. It's the blueprint. It's the OG of all of them. So We do a lot of cool stuff. I think some of the RWAs are cool, but again, I really just like Sam Spratt's art. So I probably gravitate towards that one for myself.
Love it.
I was thinking the skulls too. I will pick a different one just not to echo Toast here, but it is cool seeing the skulls because they haven't been anywhere else yet. So the console loves arcade and we love the console. But I think I'll go with one of the loans that made a big splash early on in our V2, which was like the big bang for arcade, which was a vault of two Mega Mutants. And that was 1,000 ETH, and I believe it rolled for 6 to 8 months, which was pretty exciting to see. They looked cool, but most of all, it was just that it was such a high-value loan, and again, yeah, just showing the trust that people would put into a protocol. There's so much art. I'm a big art guy, and almost half the volume that the app sees or debt that the app has is in art. So I always love seeing like one-of-ones or just pieces by... Not the Liquid collection stuff, even though I love that, of course, too. For sure. But it's cool to see that, too. But I'll go with the Mega Mutants, even though they're PFPs, just because that's 1,000 ETH number. And that wasn't even the biggest
one. Those are art. That's art, bro. Still, come on.
Yeah, there you go. For 1,000 ETH, it better be art.
Yeah. And that's a great point that you make there, too. The one-of-ones, all, you know, these large collections. That's not something that you can really do with pooled loans, right? So that's the pool collections. Like the one I had dealt with previously was like, we voted on 6 different collections. Like that's all, you know, if you didn't have those collections, you weren't getting a loan, right? You know, actually being able to find that individual who is willing to take on that risk because they value that loan is probably the coolest thing to see. That's the whole reason that crypto exists, that peer-to-peer existence is something that is probably the best part of it. Yeah, linking those two together is a massive win for the space.
Well said.
What you got over there, RSG? Looking a little quiet, my man.
Listen, I'm just over here absorbing everything because when Cryer starts talking about loans, I just sit back and listen, and that's all I'm trying to do. I'm taking notes over here. I'm trying to understand everything, but I'm more of the guy that just sits back in the shadow of Cryer here, at least. And try to understand the back everything. Seat. Yeah, I take the back seat when it comes here. We start talking a little bit about some more nerd stuff. Obviously, this is still nerdy, but just a little more nerd. That's where I pop in here. But it's truly incredible just to see, like what Cryer was saying earlier, just the opportunity that you guys have for to allow people to have that trust and to allow people to have these features in the space. It just shows like this is the future of like everything that's going on right now in Web3. And oh, I'm sorry, I can't use Web3 anymore. Just the future. We don't like Web3, the word anymore. But it's super awesome to see. And again, if you get the approval of Cryer on this, that's just an approval for me. I'm just like a little dog following on that side. So it's great to see awesome things in the space. And like you said, innovative things. It doesn't matter even if you guys weren't the first. You at least saw the opportunity in front of you. And then you took all the great of it. And you also took the bad and you pushed the bad to the side. And you made an incredible product that people are using literally almost every single day, if not every single day. So it's awesome to see.
For sure. So the growth on real world assets, where do you, is that your next largest focus or what's your plan for the future of arcade?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a focus. It all was a happenstance, but a very positive one because what it allowed us to do is conceptualize what this market could look like. All organic borrowers and organic lenders, I think I'll hand it to Toast in a moment to talk about how much volume the RWAs have done on the app. But yeah, I think very conceptual. And I know everybody's really excited about it. And it was happening at the right time on Arcade for people to be paying attention and have that conversation about what the future there might look like. But I think we're figuring that out too on our end, what it's going to look like. I think it's very exciting. I'm all about how can blockchain be incorporated into more and more things. And this makes sense, right? I think the RWA stuff really makes lot of sense, all the way from bonds, treasuries to collectibles and luxury items. You know,
makes probably the most sense out of all of the
especially. Yeah, I agree. Especially because collecting and this sort of stuff with these luxury goods and collectibles is peak in popularity still, right? There's more physical goods out there than there have ever been in the modern history of collecting. But I don't know, Toast, we've done some good numbers on the RWA loans. What do you got?
Yeah, we've done, I think it's over 2 million at this point. So a smaller number, like percentage of our total volume, but we definitely see the most like social growth through that. That's how most people have heard of us recently is you saw maybe Cyrus tweet about Rolexes and then other luxury good loans that have come out from there. For me, I'm super bullish on when I first learned about NFTs, that's where my brain went years ago, was towards putting everything on chain, whether that's your stuff from the DMV, car titles, all this kind of stuff, which is now we're calling real world assets. So I've always been bullish on that model, but these are just a small like case study of what we've done. The volume's not super high on there. It's still very niche. We're still figuring this whole thing out. Who takes control of the asset and verifies this asset to bring it on chain? So it's still super early and new. But the good thing is we're seeing a lot of buzz and hype around it. My only concern probably would be is I don't want to see too much buzz and hype like everybody that jumped from, I'll say the bad word, Web3 over to AI on Twitter. And I just don't want to see people jump over to RWAs and then kick them to the curb, because I'm honestly super bullish on them.
It's the next meta, the next bro.
Yeah, which concerns me when people start calling it the next meta, because I would actually like to see a future where more things are brought on chain and a trustless world, if you will.
Yeah, for sure.
I called something a meta earlier on, guys. You guys are attacking me now. Come on.
By the way, but see, a lot of people, really quick, how Toast was talking, how he saw crypto as an opportunity to just put a lot of things on chain and all these awesome things. On my end, how I'm looking at it right now, if you're watching on YouTube and you just know me overall, I'm a massive collector. Obviously, I see the opportunity of why you want to put it on chain, but the real opportunity for me is I don't have any more room. And I need a place to store all these things that you're talking about. So if you guys have any room for some Funkos or some Marvel stuff, maybe some NFT stuff that probably are worthless at this point now, just let me know and I can send it all over.
Yeah, he's got a $8,000 Funko collection. So you can tokenize all those and then get yourself a loan right there, buddy.
Something like that. Ooh, hold up. What am I going to do with all the dead space at the top then? Hold up.
Yeah, just take the shelves down. But that's such a cool idea too. The whole point of these physical collections that people have been holding for years, it's worth this, but it's worth zero until you actually sell it. Like you don't have any money until you actually sell that item. So the power here is now that you can digitize them, make them NFTs, make the underlying asset being tradable or loaned against or borrowed against, is such a power tool, right? People have, was it you guys that did the Supreme one, the shirt?
Yeah.
So that was like a huge collection of like massive Supreme collection. I think it was valued at like over $1 million, correct? Or something like that. Was able to be tokenized and then used as a lending collateral. And again, that's just like boxes and boxes of shirts that's probably been sitting in this dude's house for 8 years, 10 years, and now he can actually use it for something, buy a house, do something. I think this is such a cool change of pace for people, right? That's something that we can actually, that bridge of, hey, it's physical. I can actually, it's tangible. I can actually touch it. I think one other cool one is like the Pokemon card. That's a big one that's been popping up lately on the NFT side. We've seen like companies like Courtyard and a couple other ones breaking into being specific to like the trading cards of the real world assets. Are you guys planning on doing anything specifically to that, and obviously on that you like are able to loan them on there, but anything specific on that push for marketing and stuff?
I think we're still going to just continue to explore and observe and allow those types of loans to happen on the app. All the collections are on chain, so it's not even about allowing them to do it. It's about if they're getting integrated into the protocol, then anybody can use them, right? So if new RWA protocols pop up and they want their assets to be, used as collateral on Arcade, they can make that happen, right? That's the power of governance and DAOs. But we'll observe and we'll adapt if we want to adapt and if we need to adapt. But it's such a, we're getting back into bullish conditions. Let's hope these conditions are sustainable. There's going to be people who continue to push forward on RWAs, but it's going to be less trendy, right? Because there are other things to pay attention to and money to be made for a lot of market participants. So who's ever building towards RWAs or building on top of being able to support RWAs like a lending platform, like Arcade, will probably be building in quiet, right? And silence until it's ready to give to the community and to the space. And if they give it to them at the top, you know why they're doing it. And if they give it to them when things quiet down, they're probably doing it for the right reasons and giving it a real shot.
For sure. Yeah, since we're getting into the bullish conditions, yeah, right, guys? What's your price prediction for ETH?
Whatever
the macro, like the high time frame?
1 year from now. Let's hear it.
Oh, end of 2024. That's tough. I don't know. I'll go with 6,800 or something. Maybe Ooh, 52 to 68.
Ooh. I like that range.
That's 1 year
from now. Nick, let's hear yours. You're the long time guy. Let's hear it.
I'm long time, so anything above a couple dollars is a good price point.
For I was gonna say like 800. Nope, a couple dollars. We're good.
Yeah, no. It's tough because I hate calling prices and stuff because I'm always a long-term future. But let's just say I'd be happier in the $2,000 to $3,000 range. Like if the market does pop up, I think ETH should start keeping up with Bitcoin soon, start catching back up percentage-wise. But my bearish stuff is far worse, so we won't talk about that.
Even 2 to 3 is bearish. I'm working with a bear here. You got to shoot. Hey, I thought bearish predicting it's over 6,000.
Yeah, I love that. What about the NFT space? I know you guys are more of the NFT. What are some of the collections that you guys are most excited about?
Yeah, I'll let probably like Tasha talk a little bit more about this because he's more in the weeds with the gen art stuff. I've been more bearish on PFPs probably recently. I've even made that publicly known in like group chats and stuff, and probably seen Grape Doodle is probably one of the futters of PFPs. I think obviously in the next cycle, some of the big ones, the Bases and the other UGAS, the CryptoPunks and stuff, those are always going to be like the North Star. So I've started getting more into the art space. Like I'm, you know, bullish on those little, you know, paint squigglies, you know, chromium squigs. Those are, you know, super bullish on those and the new stuff coming out in the space. Yeah, I have the same. I have the same one.
Say it. I can't have two doodle bears in here. And when I say two, Crier, come on, say something good. Come on, say something positive.
There, I like it as my PFP. I've kept it for a while.
That's
do I ever think my grape doodle will be worth what I paid for it at 10 ETH? Probably. We're definitely back if it hits that. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I'll take it that way. That's funny. Yeah, we got those. Go ahead, Cash.
No, I was just going to say, I'm all about the art too here with Toast. Art has really proven itself this bear market to really 100%. Look more like art in general than just this sort of crypto phenomenon. But the truth is, it's still very crypto native. And so I'm bullish on the art. I'm bullish on the gen art. I'm bullish on the stuff that already exists, like squiggles, like art blocks in general, especially the early, more iconic stuff. I'm bullish on stuff that came out this year. Jack Butcher is definitely the standout artist. And I think Opepins are great. I'm very long on Jack. But I also don't fade the PFP stuff. I think identity was one of the biggest selling factors of NFTs this last cycle. And with things like SocialFi coming out this cycle, I think identity is even bigger this next cycle. And PFPs go with identity. Everything's, I don't want to say everything. Anything that was worth last cycle is going to have at least a relief pump. Some things will lead the way and make, you know, crazy highs and outperform the, you know, gods of yesteryear. I think Penguins is one of them. Pudgies, I think, flips something like a Basie. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then there's going to be new shiny toys.
That's a good one.
Yeah, there's going to be new shiny toys. Flip too, so Basie. There's going to be new PFPs and new artists that come up and then new experimentation, right? SocialFi is really the stamp. SocialFi very much reminded me of NFTs from 2020. Only a few people were playing and it turned into something that nobody could expect not too long thereafter. So I got high hopes here for SocialFi, high hopes for the NFT market in general. It looks like we're bottomed. I'm calling the bottom. I thought we could have gone a little lower, but I did snipe at these prices on some stuff. I guess at least I did that. It's better than
I agree with you on that. I think we're definitely near the bottom. I think there's definitely not a lot of just the supply side of it is just, that doesn't make any sense. The people that are left, me and, you know, we're the doodles. I'm not going to sell my doodle at this. There's no point, right? Like something that it's more valuable at this point just by going to the events and doing the fun stuff that they provide. It's worth more than that to me now. I do think a lot of them got oversold and especially with the blur points and stuff like that, they got all those collections just got annihilated by Machi pretty much by himself. But so I, you know, I do think that is definitely a route to, I think we're up only from here
on. If there's not a,
it's gonna take pool. A while, but
but if there's not a doodle pool on flooring, then you guys got to make that happen because that'll inject a good amount of liquidity.
Yeah, you've been using flooring protocol. I logged on there, I haven't used it much. What do you think?
I haven't used it, but I'm just thankful for the liquidity and what it's done for the market since launch. The
market space. Yeah. It's a cool idea. I think that we've seen other fractionalization. That was like a huge thing. I saw 10 fractional companies like what last cycle that didn't go
actually
anywhere.
13.
Right. Because they were all just too early for that really. don't know.
This is an AMM. The fractionalization part, I think, is secondary to it being an AMM. Because I asked the same question, too. I was actually talking to someone earlier, and I was like, yeah, the fractionalization stuff didn't take off last time. But I was missing the point, because this is an AMM that's just trying to make things more liquid through the fractionalization. It's an interesting concept. It'll be interesting to see if it sticks, of course.
For sure. But yeah. Well, it was great chatting with you guys. I always welcome some founders to come on and chat, because that's the only people left, right? NFTs has always been something that I've found is, that's when I got into all of this side of it, right? Like, I was in crypto. I was just the guy, the scrolling through, lurking, not actually participating. So that's what actually got me into the actual wanting to create something, wanting to do something. So I do think NFTs is going to be the biggest thing to come from just crypto in general, I personally think. But yeah, you guys are leading the way with loaning. We're going to see a lot of new cool things coming from you guys, I believe. And looking forward, if anyone wants to participate, they still got their tokens out there. Try out some loans. Never done it before. It's always a good time to try, right? Because they can't go too much lower.
Yeah, it's definitely worth poking around, at least the dApp. And we pride ourselves on having a super sticky product. So that's probably what's most beneficial is we have a really good team building it. People ask me all the time of what's marketing in Web3, but primarily like what's marketing for Arcade. It's getting in the weeds. It's a little bit different than like traditional Web2 marketing. You got to make yourself known in group chats. But Arcade made it beneficial guerrilla. That you could just, yeah, it's a guerrilla marketing tactic for sure. But then once you get on Arcade, it looks cool. And then once you actually use it, we have most repeat lenders and borrowers. That's they get stuck in the ecosystem. It's a good thing when we constantly try to improve it. So making a good sticky product and then building, like we said, building through the bear. That's why I'm bullish on these projects now that have very vocal founders. Shout out to Pudgy Penguins and stuff like that. So people like that building the space forward that are in this kind of bear market and they're still being just as loud as they were in the bull. Those are the ones that are gonna make it through the other side. I've seen it for sure. Years and years, and having you guys be advocates in the space is pretty awesome, like having some laughs and being able to get some good news. So yeah, you guys keep it for up sure. too. Appreciate it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we were talking about, we had Luca on, 2 weeks ago, and that was the switch for me for stop being bearish on NFTs, man. This guy is just...
he literally, I don't know if you listened to the podcast or not, but I didn't have this on my bingo card, which was Luca was the one that flipped Crier into liking doodles again, which was wild to me. I had no idea that was even possible. And he even got him to liking Cool Cats. And then the following week, we had Klon on as well. So it was super awesome. But like Crier said, why are we bearish on these things that we were so like we see the future. We know what's about to happen. Obviously, it was a little bit too much at first.
Takes time.
We got some, it takes time. We're almost there. But it should be glorious one day.
Yeah, 100% agree. I'm still have it. I still grape dude at heart, and I'm still bullish on doodles themselves. We'll see what the future holds. There's plenty of space for stuff to happen, and I'm excited.
Absolutely.
All right, really quick, let me go ahead and I'll do a speed round of some nerd stuff because we have a lot of things to talk about because everything's popping off. It looks like we're going to get an agreement on the actors deal pretty much. So once that goes through, a lot of things are going to happen. But the most important thing that I have to say for everyone here today, and hopefully you guys are nerds, and if not, I'm here to help if you have any questions here. But let's go on.
He was silent thing, for all of it, and now he's going to talk about his nerd shit, right?
I'm about to pop off. All right, number one is Invincible Season 2. This show is phenomenal. I watched the first episode and read all the comics in less than a month, and it was phenomenal, and I still think it's better than anything Marvel's ever done, and you guys can see behind me, it's all Marvel, number one. Number two is that what's going on right now in Marvel is that we're in shambles. Everything's going to shit, and a lot of multiple executives have come out, and it looks like they're trying to get away from Kang, and they're trying to go over into Doctor Doom now. So a lot of really interesting things going on with Loki, a lot of reviews going back to Ant-Man 3, like how they thought it was supposed to be a hit, but it wasn't, unfortunately, even though it wasn't that bad. Everyone just freaking out about it. I think the first thing they should have probably not done was say like Kang was going to be the big bad and then let a superhero by the name of Ant-Man beat him right away. But hear me out. Easily. I'm not a Marvel guy or anything on that side. But the other thing I did want to mention is that we also on Friday if for all the OG people for that played Fortnite in the last, what Fortnite came out like 7-8 years ago, we're actually getting the OG map back. So if you guys recall when Fortnite was actually popping off and people were posting their battle royales on their Snapchat story and their Instagram story and all that good stuff, that's about to happen again. Even though all the kids that are like 7, 8, 9, and 10 years old building in this game is going to make me throw my controller through the wall, the OG map is back. And the last thing I did want to mention is Marvel's in such shambles right now that they actually had conversations about bringing back Iron Man, Black Widow, and honestly, like anyone that's died, and just bring them back for another movie. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on? So a lot of bad things on that side. Hopefully they find some ground. I really do think with the way how Loki's panning out right now, it's phenomenal. At least season one was phenomenal too as well. But hopefully they figure things out. A lot of people are upset how in the first whole arc of Marvel, we had just one story and it all tied down to Thanos, the whole nine. And not a lot of people, it turns out, actually read Marvel comics and understand that there's multiple storylines happening at the same time. So when people see these multiple things happening, they get upset now. And I'm like, guys, just pick up a comic book, maybe six, and you'd see why we're doing multiple things here. And the last thing, the very last thing I wanted to say is Mario Wonder was actually phenomenal. I just finally finished it. There was three levels in that freaking game that I almost wanted to claw my eyes out because I could not freaking do. But I finished it.
Completed it.
It was great. Not 100%, but almost there. So hopefully we get more of that. The next game that's coming out is Mario RPG, which is a remaster to that. And we have other awesome games coming out right now. And that's pretty much all I have. I talk a lot on the Marvel stuff. We're good there. And actually, one of you guys, I don't remember who it was earlier before the episode, saying that Tobey Maguire and Hugh Jackman, the rumors are that they're actually going to be the leaders of the Avengers in Secret Wars. That's obviously just a rumor, but we should see what will happen.
I got a nerd thing for you, RSG.
No, you don't. Let's hear it.
There's a new show on HBO Max called Scavenger's Reign, and it is fucking awesome.
Give me a 15-second elevator pitch right now.
Elevator pitch. It's a sci-fi show about a cross-galaxy freighter that gets crashed on a planet, and they're like trying to survive, and it's about the incorporation of all these super weird aliens and stuff like that. Atmosphere of it is really interesting. I was very surprising. It has a 9.2 on IMDb, which is like very high.
Okay, I definitely have to check it out since I'm now a weekly watcher of One Piece and I'm not trying to binge the living shit out of it. I have some time to put something in. I was actually told to watch Jujutsu Kaisen, which is, again, you guys know my take on anime. I'm not a big anime fan outside of One Piece, so like watching another anime is a little rough for me, but we'll see how it goes. And just to close everything out, and since both Toast and Casher, you guys haven't been talking at this end part, I have to ask, are you guys nerds like us, or are we just weird? I just have to ask.
My whole tattoo sleeve, that's a Tauntaun. This is a whole Star Wars sleeve. One of my first trips with my wife was to New York Comic Con back in the day. We have our like whole like nerd creator cave like on the other side of the house. Love and it. Stuff like that too. And yes, I'll be watching season 2 of Invincible. You have to cut in the Titanic. It's been 84 years. So you got to cut that in when you were introducing it into the video. Because it just feels like I've been waiting forever for that show to come out. Not a super huge nerd into the comics as much, only because I relied too much on like my wife to catch me up. So if there's something happening in the movie, I can just pause and ask her because she's read every single comic book like in existence.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. But so yes, you're speaking to the right audience.
Yes. I got a question now. Favorite
Do it.
Star Wars characters, light side and dark side.
Dark sides, it's definitely got to be like OG Darth Vader. I'm not going to throw any of the new characters stuff into that. God, does R2-D2 count for the light side? No.
Perfect. That's good. I love it. No, let's Chopper. Hold up. I just have to say something, though. But we all know that Chopper's the best.
Yeah, that was one of the best character droids, too. Yeah, I'll take that.
I, He's just a war. He just likes killing people. So it's great. So it's wild. He just has like, how many kills confirmed does he have? Over 200,000. Something bizarre. It's wild.
Yeah, he's a killing machine. Castro. Awesome.
Castro,
what a good game.
Oh, yeah, it's phenomenal. Castro, all right, let's hear it. Are you a nerd like us, or are we just talking right now?
Pre-crypto, I was really into it, the superhero stuff specifically, and pro wrestling. Okay. I don't consume a whole lot of content today. I am watching Loki, though, and I really like that. What's Woo! That?
Episode 4 was crazy, the last one that we saw. Let's not talk about anything, but that was crazy.
No problem. But no, it's so I'm really enjoying that. I'm surprised how good it is because like a lot of the superhero stuff kicked off really fire, especially the TV stuff with Marvel. And I think it started going downhill. I couldn't watch
time.
Anything.
All the shows are
last
rough.
Several shows. I couldn't even finish a season, but Loki is standing out hardcore. So yeah, I am on the nerd side. Crypto does take up most of my life.
Okay. Now, quick question for you. Favorite superhero and favorite supervillain in the Marvel universe?
Oh, in Marvel? Okay. I am the DC nerd, even though I follow the Marvel stuff.
Oh,
mostly.
DC. Superhero. Screw it. Screw Marvel. No, do the whole thing. DC.
But I have such a cliche answer for it because it's Batman.
That's all you guys have to do.
And supervillain? Shit. I guess I really don't like supervillains, but...
Great answer. You're not going to go to jail.
I'm not supposed to like them. I never aspired to be like one. Him. I feel like Lex Luthor, just because of how many storylines from alternative universes he's been the good guy in, but...
And by the way, the least bad, but Toast, I would like to say Ahsoka is my favorite on the light side. She is a Jedi, by the way, for all the people that don't think that she's a Jedi. She's literally a Jedi now. And number two on the dark side, number two would be Darth Maul. But number one is always going to be my boy, Thrawn. I love Thrawn. On the DC side, Kid Flash. And then on the villain side.
What a nerd.
I don't have an answer for the villain side for DC, but I will say that Batman's villains are by far the best villains. Very close to Spider-Man's villains. Spider-Man and Batman have the best villains in all superhero and everything like that.
If I had just an extra few hours a week, I'd be playing Spider-Man 2 right now. The first one was fire. The Miles Morales one was fire.
See, I'm an Xbox guy, so I don't have it. I get made fun of every 6 hours. Like every 6 hours, I get made fun of by one of my friends that I can't play. But I've been seeing some gameplay. That dude, I'm playing Gotham Knights right now, which is actually a lot of fun. But in Gotham Knights, you can shoot like the it's not like you're Spider-Man, you're like swinging through like New York City. You literally have a grappling hook and you have to click like two buttons to do something cool. And I'm like, this doesn't feel right. I should be Spider-Man right now.
Should be Spider-Man for sure.
Yeah,
I read the Power Ranger comics too. That's something I keep up
Ooh.
With.
I was never...
Those are fire.
See, I'm a little younger side, so Power Rangers, like, I got the end of it, but that's about it on that
side. Oh, my doxing as a boomer? Yeah, I think so.
You have a m'lady. I feel like m'ladies are a lot of boomer m'ladies, if you ask me.
Yeah, we just want to save our Social Security, that's all.
Yeah,
that's right. Makes sense.
Hey, we will say we missed it. We weren't recording this, but Cryer, what did your kid say at the beginning of this podcast before?
Mini Cryer came out and said that m'ladies were cute, which was just appalling to me. I'm like, what the? What?
That's the one you say he looks at my cool cat all the time and goes, oh, you know what? Eh. But then he looks at the ladies like, this is it. This is the one. Maybe I have to reevaluate my PFPs or my bags.
Or we got to watch him. Something. One of the two. That's probably more so that. Got to watch that guy.
Yeah, I probably have to figure something out on that side. But again, guys, thank you guys so much for stopping by. We will be putting all of arcades as well as your guys' X accounts on the bio or the description Twitter. Of the podcast. It's X. On the description of the podcast. But again, thank you guys so much for stopping by. For the listeners, catch us next week for another episode of Nerd FT Radio. This is where Cryer is now going to end the show.
What's up only, bros?
Oh, see, I usually tell them to grab a brick and throw it, but we're only up right now. So no brick throwing right now. Okay, baby. We're only building.
That's right. Take it easy, everyone.
Have a good day, guys.
Peace.